This is the CC Radio Podcast.
Welcome to the Countdown Podcast. Today we are going to review The Last Dance on Netflix for you. My name's Wayne.
And my name is Paul. Then straight into it then for this brand new ongoing series from Netflix in a format that they've never done before as far as I'm aware.
What is that deal?
2 episodes per week for 5 weeks, kicking off on April 19th. So as we record now, we are 4 episodes in. It's been out for a couple of weeks. The next 2 drop tomorrow. So this is a safe for you to listen to if you've seen up to 4 episodes of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it is all a matter of fact. We're just going to go right into it and talk all about our impressions of these first 4 episodes of the 10 that are going to be released.
Got it.
It is directed by Jason Heyer.
Yeah.
Heyer, maybe, possibly.
Yeah.
And is produced by Michael Tolan. And it follows the Chicago Bulls during the 97-98 season as they attempt to win a historic 6th NBA World Championship title.
Mm.
With a bunch of things behind the scenes that were standing, shall we say, in their way as we find out. That's the basis. It obviously follows largely Michael Jordan's story within that. And I know I've jumped all over what you normally do there, Wayne.
That's cool. Jump it, man.
Apologies. Now, by your own admission.
Yeah, let's get this out of the way.
This is more my jam than it is yours, and I fully acknowledge
most
that.
Most definitely. But, you know, here's the thing, folks. If there's anyone out there like me who's not a real man, just like, and you don't really know much about sport and you don't, you know, whatever, I'll just say this is still for you. This is still something that you can enjoy, okay? Paul, back in the day, he was actually in a group in school, which we called the Basketballers. He could also move among all the other groups, but we've talked about this. He's the Dayfarer, Walker. But Daywalker. Primarily, I would say you were a lot in that clique, and in fact, you were my way in. Like, the only way, you know, I could talk to Paul, I talk to the other guys as well. They're all tall. Okay, so.
Generally speaking, there were some tall individuals in that.
Exactly.
Yes, I was a basketballer from a young age, played a lot of basketball.
Played the ball.
Played it all the way up until the birth of my child, and then slowly gave away between that and my back going to shit. So mm-hmm. I couldn't really block out or box out or take blows. You jump in here, Wayne, whenever you feel free.
You became a runner. You became a runner.
Yeah, and I changed that into running instead. So it's something that I do miss. And this was kind of harkening back almost to the heyday of basketball for
okay,
me.
Okay, so give me the year that you would go with your heyday peak year.
Well, in terms of interest, then certainly around this era.
92?
Was just all the 90s.
All the 90s, right?
90s of basketball was big for me. So dominated by the Bulls. And in my eyes, now let's get this out there as well, I'm not a Bulls fan.
Paul is the Detroit fan. Paul yes. likes fucking thugs, everyone. All right? That's what Paul likes, all right? In fact,
God damn.
We're going to get to, when we discuss episode 3, you're going to learn a lot about Paul. All right? You're going to learn a lot about Paul from me, all right? So
well, I kind of figured that this wouldn't be my jam, and I keep using that word jam probably very deliberately.
Oh, we'll get there.
Because I don't like the Bulls. Like, I didn't like the Bulls. They were the enemy.
How do you not like the Bulls, man?
Because they won all the time, and I've always been this...
Underdog?
Yeah, underdog supporter.
I understand that kind of methodology. However, well, we'll get into it. But let me tell you about this, folks, just before we get to Paul's like thing here, okay? As I said, I know nothing about sports, but if anything, I would watch...
Closest basketball.
NBA basketball, right? Sort of NBL, which is the Aussie League, occasionally, but mostly NBA. Because it's NBA, son, all right? That's the NBA, all right? So,
good opportunity here to plug our local team in the National Basketball League.
Yes, the NBL. Perth Wildcats.
The Perth Wildcats are the longest running, I believe, either second or first now, I'm not 100% sure, franchise in the world to make the playoffs or the finals for sequential years.
Really?
It goes all the way back to 1986 from memory. So for 34 years...
They've never not been in the playoffs.
They've never not made the finals.
Wow.
Which is astounding.
Get this. Luke Longley from the Chicago Bulls.
In this show,
came from Perth and owns the Wildcats now.
By the end of episode 4, I'm not sure he's said anything on camera. He's looked at the camera a few times.
I've seen him there.
Yeah,
and I'm like, he's taller than everyone. So.
Yeah. They've not made any... I wonder if he'll come into it in later episodes.
I heard a rumor that he is in it, but I can't imagine...
He would have a lot to say. He's certainly not a main player.
No, he's not a main player.
Jordans,
but he was always right
the
there in the center when the tip-off happens all the time.
Yeah,
like
he's
a
center.
Him and Jordan, man. I'm like, okay, well, yeah. So it's pretty cool.
He's the center. So,
sorry, we keep going, but I
well,
wanted to...
that's the thing. It evokes a lot of memories.
And this was our time, right? Like, it wasn't even, like, this was not my space, but it was definitely my time, okay? The 90s were the heyday. So for me, everyone, I only really became more interested in this accidentally because I used to be... My first job was at an arcade, like a bling 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 arcade, okay? It's called Time Zone over here. I was the guy with the key walking around, and it's like, hey, how you doing, man? This thing ate my fucking quarter. Well, sorry, my 20-cent coin.
Yeah, don't say quarter.
So don't say quarter. And then I'd be like pressing buttons like bing, bing, bing.
Was it still 20 cents back then, or had it moved and graduated to like $1?
There were $2 games, man. It was like, holy shit, right? So
Afterburner.
Afterburner was a big ball you could go upside down with. Anyway, but anyway, during that year, those 2 years where I worked for Time Zone, they put it in NBA Jam, okay? NBA Jam, four-person thing based on the actual NBA. You had people in there. For some reason, Jordan wasn't a character because of the
It cost too much money. Yeah.
Exactly. So you got Pippen and Grant and, like, you know, Person.
Person is the one. Delivers a facial.
Oh, my. Okay, it was just
He's
all...
He's heating up.
Exactly. So I learned about all the NBA players, or at least four per team.
two per team.
Yeah, because you had options. After what,
oh, maybe you're right. I think you did have one guard each.
So I only know those names, right? And so I ended up being quite good at that game. I'm bad at every game on the planet, everyone. Can't drive, can't shoot, right? None of them shits, right? This game, I couldn't own, but I could do okay. And that's nice when you have the keys. You know what I'm saying? So, that's the only reason I liked NBA, but then I love it as well. So Paul here, this is the only game I could actually talk about with you.
Yeah, and as you may be able to tell, the vernacular from that game lives on.
Oh, it does.
It still will be person delivers a facial.
Oh
will
my!
Be.
And then like I had to write them down. 1 minute to go from downtown, or our favorite boom shakalaka,
or if you prefer,
whoa boom shakalaka.
Yeah, that's from the game, man.
That
so,
was
like,
Tim Kitzrael doing it more recently. It's not quite the voice there, but the cleanest one we could find.
Yeah, we could find. Yeah, but that's how it works. So it's all just stuff for us. So now that you know why we like it,
yeah, that's the basketball history lesson, and this is indeed a bit of a history lesson. And it claims to have never before seen behind the scenes footage. So they gave this film crew unprecedented access. So they were in the training sessions, they're in their weight room sessions, they're in some planning sessions, and it is a fly on the wall kind of exploration of what happens to this team, which would have been so successful, winning 5 of 7 championships, coming into the 97-98 season, and yet they were told from the get-go, we're cleaning house at the end of this season.
Yeah.
So internally, between Phil Jackson, the coach, and Jordan, and all the rest of the players, this was became known as, or in fact, I think it was Jackson's prerogative based on what it says in the first episode, the last dance.
So did he plan on leaving this year?
No, he was told that Jerry...
He was told?
Jerry, I can't remember, Krause?
Jerry, yeah, that guy, yeah.
He basically said, you are definitely not the coach after this year. We are starting afresh.
Do we know why he did that?
Well,
because he's a little shit, apparently. He's a little fucking...
Well, he certainly is. The show does seem to make him... And I'm guessing he's dead because we've not seen... He's the only person we haven't seen live...
Yeah, interviewed now.
Interviewed now. So he's either dead or he's just gone into hiding / I'm not fucking participating in this sideshow.
I wouldn't either,
circus.
Man. It does not paint him in a good light at all.
But I would... Well, if I was him, I'd rather be on record explaining myself than what's being left to do now because
he's...
He's credited at times. He's credited with putting together the team that did start. He
obviously
was the one that recognized.
Yeah,
absolutely. And the owner, I can't remember his name, but the owner was saying exactly that, that people forget. They like to make him out to be a bad guy, but he put this crew together. He was the one that said Phil Jackson should be the coach. He was the one that said, you know, we need someone. We need to sort of change the focus and whatever else.
Well, they say that's why he wanted to fire Phil Jackson, from what I can tell, is because the Bulls were getting more publicity as winning than he did. Like he's supposed to be like fucking, you know, I don't know. It just seems weird to me that he actually is. If you're the general manager, or what is he, CEO, something like that?
General manager.
Then if the team wins, you look good, surely. But for some reason, he didn't like the attention and that's why he wanted to disband the team.
So all that stuff's really interesting.
Yeah.
There is a lot of on-court footage, as you would expect and hope in a basketball documentary, but there's a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff. And then it does, because it's very slick, this show, really slick.
The access that you get is what makes it so good. You're looking at it, holy shit, this is like people saying shit that they were actually talking about in the interviews, but this is the footage of them saying it.
Well, it does a lot. Yeah, it does a lot of very interesting things.
What?
Well, for one, it bounces between timelines in a really effective way.
Now, I needed to tell you about this, okay? I'm not very smart. So so when it goes back and forth, like I watched all four, obviously, and I'm sitting there going, because Rodman is in the team for a while, and then like it cuts to obviously before that when he was in the Pistons,
correct?
Which is when Paul liked him. Everyone,
yeah,
we'll get there. So for me, when I know that there's actual literally a timeline that moves back and forth to show you shit,
yep.
But obviously my brain did not register that.
So well, it has a graphic which comes up and shows you where they're located.
I know what you're telling me. I know the problems I have. I know the learning disabilities that no one has noticed till now. But I'm sitting there and I look at it, oh, so this is obviously a flashback or whatever, yep. Right? And then I'm going, wait, now I don't know where this fits in the timeline. But obviously I figured it out now that Rodman actually was in the Bulls until he retired. Am I right?
Yeah, he finished his... So well, I think so. He went Pistons, San Antonio, the Bulls. I can't remember if he played for someone else afterwards. Or as you can tell in episode 3, where yeah. It largely is about Rodman. That seems to be what they're doing. The first episode's all Jordan. Second episode's largely Pippen. Third episode's largely Rodman. I don't know what the fourth episode is.
The fourth episode has
got
everyone,
in it. Yeah, yeah. Maybe now we've gone away from the major players. I mean, Phil Jackson is there throughout.
Yeah, exactly. But, it's cool to actually see these guys now. Like, these guys look great. Like, Jordan looks the fucking same, right?
No, he's clearly filled out a lot.
He's filled out. Okay, good call.
As he would have to.
The only thing I noticed that his eyes are a bit like... The whites of his eyes are not very white. Do you know what I mean?
That'll be all the cigars he smokes.
Is that it? I know.
I'm not a medical doctor.
But I thought it was cool that Jordan's sitting there with his little glass of scotch, you know?
Yeah, it's always a cigar of varying lengths and a scotch or whatever it is of varying heights next to him.
I'm sorry, but that's cool as fuck. All right? I know it's bad for you people. I know you shouldn't drink and smoke. But if you're smoking fucking whatever, he'll have some Monte Cristo motherfuckers, right? He won't be maybe no white owls on his ass, right? And he would have like some fucking $200.
Well, let's talk about Jordan.
Let's talk about Jordan.
For me, he was the great evil. Like, as an opposition fan.
Come
he was
forward here,
so good. Look, it was respect, but it was hate. Hateful
respect. Hate respect.
Yeah, as you do the best team, best like the Tom Brady's if you don't support the Boston, whatever team he plays for. That kind of thing. If he's not on your team, you fucking hate him.
Absolutely.
Well, hate's a strong word. You know what I mean?
He's the nemesis.
Yes, nemesis is a better word.
Exactly. Right? He's the unfavorite, unpopular.
That he would have a bad game because then you could rub it in even more. That kind of stuff, right? So to see him here gives him a bit more of a human slant. And I have to say, he didn't come across as overly narcissistic to me. Though definitely narcissistic.
Dude, if I did what he did,
exactly.
I would just hit you in the face with my dick every time I saw you. So no way. He's fine, man. He's good.
But that's the point. Like, if you are and arguably were the most famous person in the world, sports person in the world at that time, and clearly the most successful and best player in the NBA at that time.
Is it arguable that he's still not? Are people saying what's his name?
LeBron James.
LeBron James, yeah, okay. Yeah,
Kobe Bryant even. I mean, obviously, there's... Since he's retired, players become more famous. You can't, your legacy won't live on like that. In the same way that, say, Donald Bradman in cricket, he is kind of revered, but the conversation's always, would he be as good if he played now?
Because the records have been broken so many times. And
just the game has evolved.
Yeah, right?
It's not the same as it used to be.
Yeah, and the answer is probably no.
Yeah, but anyway, those statistical achievements will remain. And Jordan is a once-in-a-generation player. LeBron is the current version thereof.
I see. So, yeah, I remember when Jordan was like, when this was all happening, I was like all on, I don't really know any teams. I just wanted to watch the game, but I knew I loved the idea of Michael Jordan, right? Even though his tongue hung out when he slammed and shit, which he stopped doing after a while.
Did he?
Yeah. If you look at his later shit, he doesn't do that anymore.
Maybe he got shoved at the wrong moment and bit it so hard.
Possibly, but it was just like, if I was him, I'd work on that too. It's like, people are taking photos of me and shit. And I'm like, ah.
Whatever.
Anyway,
whatever.
Hey, this is what it's like to be me, Paul.
I think we've gotten this far into the fucking episode and you haven't commented on the fashion.
Oh, fuck, then let's talk about it, okay, everyone?
Here we go, my moment.
Vindication! Okay, the 90s fashion has always been funny, but it's particularly funny here. Here's the thing when you're an NBA person in the 90s. What they all did was they wore suits that were like, seriously, a bee's dick away from a zoot suit. It was so
like
long.
Hanging off them.
Dude, it was so... The box fucking shoulders are so massive on these guys who are already big, right? So it looks literally like Dick Tracy, the cartoon, right? It's just jagged edge. And then they had 4,000 buttons on that jacket because they're so tall, right? It looks like fucking Steve Harvey and shit, right? So, and then the bottom of the jacket... The jacket's supposed to stop where your hand fingers curl as you drape them by your side. These things went halfway down their dick, man.
Almost. It looks like it almost goes to their knees.
I swear to God, it looks like tails almost. They're the worst. And they're fucking just horrible. Just horrible. Really, really, really horrible.
I knew you have something to say. I wanted to give you a chance.
I was like, oh my God. Anyway, please, go on. Let's talk about this now.
But there's Jordan. Come back to Jordan for a moment. His agent came out, because there's a lot of press about the show at the moment. It's creating quite the stir.
Oh, is it? People say best thing on Netflix right now.
And I would agree. It absolutely is the best thing on Netflix. I think it's even better, as we're going to hear in my score at the end, than Tiger King. A lot better. because I'm a sports
fan.
Sure. And it might be different for you if you're not a sports fan, but for me, this is where it's at. Apparently, his agent, no longer his agent, secured him a deal in 2017 to launch some kind of product.
Mm.
The product is not specified. So it could be a nuclear bomb, right? But Jordan refused. The fee that he was going to be paid to turn up for one night to speak for 15 minutes and mingle for 2 hours was $100 million.
Wait, really?
And Jordan, because he's so rich and apparently is very picky, just said, nah.
$100 million, 15 minutes of work.
Well, no, you have to prep 2 hours. You got to be there. And
even if it was 2 weeks, it's $100 million, yep. Right? So let me ask you this.
And the agent didn't say it in a bad way. He said, like, that's how much respect I have for Jordan, that he can turn something like that down.
Wait. Right now, in my head, I'm going, what product has a margin where my fucking promotion budget is $100 million, which is just for one piece of talent?
Yeah.
Okay, so what? It might be a nuclear bomb, motherfucker. I can't think of anything that would be more expensive that would actually do that.
Well, here's my question to you. Does that make him a bigger cunt?
No.
Because he could have taken that $100 million
now
and given it to charity.
Fuck that. No way. Right? I mean, not fuck that. Great if he does it. However, you're not thinking like that. If you're Jordan, who has more money than God, right? And then he's got all his Nike sponsorships and this and that and this and that. And literally, we're at a stage where $100 million is, you're now weighing up your inconvenience.
I would guess it would be $10,000 to the average person.
I'd say it'd be...
maybe $1,000 to the average person.
I'd say it'd be $1 million No, you're right. To an average person, yeah, you're right. It would be like, fuck, man, it's got to be...
like, it's enough that you're not prepared to do it because you're uncomfortable
tell you what,
with
it's
it.
It's $10,000 to the average person, yeah. If the average person is on $250
a year.
A year. Right. All right? That's what I think it is. It's like $10,000. You're like, I don't think so. You know? So that's what that is. But oh my God, that's so nuts. Yeah, that's cool, man.
So I thought you liked that story.
I hear Michael Jordan stories that I heard lore about Michael Jordan when I was a kid. That apparently in one practice session, he was down like 30 points and someone fucking talked shit to him from the other team. It was just a practice session. And he said, yeah, what's up? And we bust your ass on some shit. And Jordan just looks at him and goes, I'm taking my team back. And then scored like 100 points in the last quarter or something, right?
Well, I mean, there's evidence in this documentary a couple of times where he plays games like that where, you know, he gets talked some trash to, comes out, scores 63 in a losing side type stuff. So,
I think you or Christian told me this story where someone on an actual game said to him, hey, you know, was like, go trash talk Jordan. It's like a rookie or something. Go ahead, man. We're winning. Go trash him. Like, okay, fine. Goes up to him. It gives him a bit of shit. Jordan just looks at him, fucking nails it, wins the game, walks up to him and goes, don't you ever fucking talk to me again, and then walks off. I'm like, oh, shit. I've heard that he's a hard ass man.
There's evidence of that coming. And I'm told that the future episodes of the show, I don't know who has where they got this information, but they do become not critical of him, but they do show him at his most ruthless and how much of a prick he can be.
Dude,
so
yeah,
that's kind of cool. I'm glad it's not a puff piece that's all about how good is this.
Well, was it produced by him? No, it wasn't.
I don't know, but clearly he's happy. He's all over it. It's largely Michael Jordan's story because the 97-98 season
exactly.
Was largely Michael Jordan's season,
yeah.
Right? The last championship he would win, 6 out of 8, that's just astounding. So, yeah, it is a matter of history. They don't start that well. The whole Pippen stuff for me is fascinating. And then, you know, he was underpaid chronically for how good he was because he just had to sign because he felt like he had to take care of his family.
Is that what, yeah.
And this GM would not renegotiate. And I get it from a business perspective, but at the same time, don't you want to appease your talent so shit, what happens in this season doesn't happen.
Exactly.
That he doesn't put off having his operation.
Right. People do not actually contend with being underpaid.
They'll do whatever they can.
They will just go, fuck you then, I'll leave, and that's it. And why wouldn't you? So, yeah, it's weird that it's a weird tactic. It's almost like a power tactic.
Yeah, I wonder if we'll get more into the psychology of the GM somehow, if he is dead or refusing to be on camera, somehow that someone will have some insight into why he made these decisions, because that, to me, is the most fascinating part of it. And then we have to get here, because we are starting to run long.
Yeah.
Dennis Rodman.
Okay, good. All right, I'll start this, Paul. All right. Everyone,
we have to defend myself here.
Okay, good. Paul was such a fan of Dennis Rodman. No, sorry. No, I should mention this. Before he became weird, before all the hair,
when he was with the Pistons.
Yeah, before he was fucking Madonna and shit, right? All that shit.
The
right?
Carmen Electra, apparently, Carmen all Electra, over
she's
the place.
In the fucking, yeah, exactly, right?
Looking fine.
Fucking A, man. It's all good. Anyway, so before all that, I think Dennis Rodman and Paul had a similar playing style, defensive.
Exactly.
So Paul identified with him.
I wasn't very good at scoring points. Like, it's never been my forte.
But your style is defensive. So
therefore, I kind of molded myself into, well, if you can't be good at the offensive end, you got to be better at the defensive end. You got to get rebounds. You got to put pressure on players. You can't be slouching there. So he became my idol on that basis.
Absolutely. I pick bald role models all the time. So much so that...
that's a bingo.
You know, if you were in high school, you had your student diary that everyone has, the handbook or whatever, right? Paul's fucking one. He used to sign off Dennis Rodman number 10. He used to fucking sign that shit. Now, again, this happened before all of that other shit. Yeah, so it was actually a bit of a...
And I played number 10 all the way up until, gee, at least the last 10 years. So for like 15 years, I wore number 10.
10, really? Yeah. See, there you go. See, so, and I think that's cute as a button. I personally think it's awesome. All right? So, yeah. Paul was a big fan. Now, go ahead, Paul.
That's it.
How do you feel about Dennis Rodman? Like, what?
Oh, it's hard to look at him now.
Like, he's
but at the same time, clearly, and this is apparently truth, I heard last night.
Yeah.
Has a massive dick.
Yeah, I've seen it.
You have?
Yeah. He was, him and Kelsey Grammer were doing a show on, like, a segment on MTV.
Right.
And they were in the bathtub together. All right? Like, it was a spa. That was the bit. It was a spa, and I think Carmen Electra might even have been there, right? And Kelsey goes, I saw Dennis fiddle with himself. And he goes, then the reporter's like, what? Because, you know, he just kind of touched it to make it seem bigger when the camera came on. Right?
Oh.
So if you look at the video, there's actually, I haven't seen the actual, like, full hog cock, like big hog, right? But he was with Cindy Crawford, who was doing a bit, and he came out of the thing with like a thong on, and it looked like this big, huge cock, right? Yep. Which he had slapped, obviously, a bit, right?
Still,
I mean, fucking
hey. You can only make it so big.
Exactly, man. You can't just fucking, exactly. Still, you know, if he was at half mast, then it's all huge, right?
Yep.
Remember, this is the NBA. These guys are 7 feet tall. The dick is going to be big, man. It's going to be a huge fucking hog. Otherwise, it would be weird. It's like if they were that big and had small hands, it wouldn't have worked out that way. That's why women love him, I'm sure. So, yes.
Well, look who he's with. He's not a good-looking bloke, Rodman.
No, he looks like my dick, man, ironically. He looks like a bag of assholes, all right? But he fucking gets it done.
Madonna, Carmen Electra, countless models.
Again, did you hear what I said about his dick?
What's I saying to you? It must be big.
Of course it's and
he's
big,
rich,
man.
And he's entertaining, and he was fun, and he would, you know, he would be up for a good time.
Yeah, if you want, if, like, he's cross-dressing and shit like that, but you know they get the news right, so you know the hell's gonna come. You know, it's like that. So, there we are.
So there you go, Dennis Rodman. And it was fascinating how he fits into the very...
It is. I didn't know
the ultra... dedicated, win at all costs Jordan, and how he stepped up in Pippen's absence, and then as soon as Pippen came out, he was like, fuck this shit, I need to go, and he just went AWOL.
Ah, that was weird, man.
Entertaining stuff, man.
Yeah, it's cool. Okay.
All right. So
we've been talking about the whole thing.
We have been talking about it a fair... I mean, it's not going to be any longer than the usual sort of review, but it does speak to how gripping this is, how entertaining it is. If you're a Bulls fan and you were full on into them in the 90s, then maybe a lot of this would be old hat for you. Maybe.
But
I'm told that by Bulls fans I was speaking with that, yeah, there's not that much new footage. Maybe it's still coming.
But you know they're fucking enjoying it, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No one was talking this down that I've heard. Everyone is pro this show. I think it's very well edited. It's very slickly produced. Unlike you, I have no trouble following the jumps in time,
exactly.
Which keep it interesting because they're doing well here and they're winning in the night.
It is better
than
doing.
Let's go back to here when they got beaten up by the Pistons, exactly. The Pistons were cunts when they walked off the court, wouldn't shake their hands. That was hard to swallow. I have to admit, I didn't know that story till seeing it here.
They walked right off.
That's just terrible.
But then Isaiah
and Isaiah Washington, Isaiah Thomas
yeah.
is sitting there going, "This is what you did.
The Celtics did it to us. I'm like, go fuck yourself, man."
Yeah, and then there's a great moment or moments where they do this as a device on the show. They give the person they're interviewing an iPhone
with the
footage of what someone said, have them react live.
Mm-hmm.
Again, very clever.
Very clever. Because you can see as well, Jordan's like, this is bullshit.
Yep.
And what he says, he's an asshole.
Yep.
Like, he was an asshole at that stage. And I'm like, this is so cool. First of all, to hear Jordan say fuck is just a big thing for me. Because you know he was Mr. Squeaky Clean as far as his endorsement dollars were telling you, all right? And then I was like, fuck this guy. And that guy fuck is an asshole. And I'm like, oh, shit. You know, you can see the actual badass of this, man.
Yep.
Yeah. And by the way, just real quick, when he jumps and shit, I always knew this, but I'm watching it again and slowing it down. It's like he picks up speed after he leaves the floor. I am amazed at how high up and how long he's in the air. It's fucking beautiful, man. It's just nuts.
He was an incredible athlete. That's fair to say.
Yeah.
All right then, Wayne, let's give it a final score for The Last Dance, at least 4 episodes in. Obviously, there's 6 more to come and we'll see how it all shapes out. But what are you scoring it so far?
I'm loving the shit out of it. It's probably like 76.
Love the shit out of it, 76. Wayne, Negatroning it. I am actually loving the shit out of it, 87.
87!
Which is a special number for cricketers, lovers around the world too.
Exactly. So. If this, look, it's your interest.
I put it on after the first 2 episodes were out on like Sunday night, fully intending, I'll just give it a chance. I watched 20 minutes of it. If it's a fucking puff piece about the fucking Bulls, screw this shit. And I was engrossed.
Oh, dude. This show goes quick. I only saw the fourth one this morning, mm-hmm. right? But I was watching a bit of it last night, and I walked in and I'm like, click, and there's only like 10 minutes left. I was like, shit, I watched all of that last night. Like, you know, I was like, fuck. So that went quick.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, slick, engrossing, very much worth your time. Even if you're not a huge sports person, I think there's a lot here for you. But obviously, if you're into basketball, this is a no-brainer.
Well, Paul's given it 86. I've given it
87.
87. I've given it a 76. Again, his interest. If this movie was about puffy nipples, I'd probably give it a 70, like an 80, 89.
You know me. I see a pair of thick, weighty breasts, and all logic flies out the window.
And on that note, let's wrap it up. You can let us know if we got it right. If you didn't like the show, let us know. We'd like to hear some dissenting.
Yeah,
opinions.
Yeah. This is just two old men talking about when they looked at dick basketball.
Their heydays. That's right. Let us know via email, thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com, on Twitter @thecountdownpc. You can like and follow the show on podbean.com, where we host, and check out ccradio.com.au for a whole bunch of other great Aussie podcasts. That is it for today from us. Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate you listening along. My name is Paul.
And my name is Will.
And this has been The Soundboard, completely summarizing this entire review with two words.
Hot damn!
Okay, there we are. We're done. We're out. See you next time.
See you guys.